The Money Show.
The Markets.
You won't hear me saying this again next week. Chris Stewart from Investec Asset Management, because they change. They become 91 next week, so I'll enjoy that. Chris Stewart from Investec Asset Management. And Bloomberg saying that Sasol is the worst performing emerging market stock this week. By my calculations, this week alone, and this week is only 3 days old, it's lost two-thirds of its value from just Friday.
Yes, Bruce. That it has, and it's been a torrid time, with the oil price having absolutely collapsed post the announcements out of Saudi Arabia at the end of last week. Sasol has, as you say, fallen in a heap. It's a highly geared company. It's a highly geared company that's underwater from an earnings perspective at this oil price, and it has some fairly tight covenants in place that it will undoubtedly be breaching. And will, you know, if the oil price stays at this level for any period of time, come the next measurement date for its covenants with its funders, which I think is in June of this year, there will be a covenant breach, and then it will be either up to shareholders to come to the party, and in the event that shareholders choose not to come to the party, then I'm not quite sure what happens next.
So you're the lucky guy who gets to answer this question. So much news on Sasol, but can we get an investment specialist, that'd be you, as to whether it's a good time to buy Sasol or not? The underlying factors such as driving the decline. Is it oil? Is it Lake Charles? Class actions or other factors? Right now, it's all about oil. Previously, Lake Charles, but just as they were sorting that out, then oil slipped.
Yeah, Bruce, it is all about oil. It's all about the oil price. You know, as I said, at this oil price, Sasol will not be able to meet the covenants that it has with its funders. And as a result of that, there may well be a requirement to raise additional equity and or dispose of assets. And in that event, it's not a seller's market, I guess, for disposing of assets at a decent value. And, you know, if you are going to go in and buy the share, you may have to be prepared to put additional capital in thereafter in the event that Sasol come looking to you for capital.
Yeah, and that's the risk that comes with this thing, of course. But then logic dictates also that nobody is making money out of oil at $36 a barrel. There is no incentive for oil producers to allow oil to stay at this sort of level. At some point, the production cuts must come. It may take a week, may take a month, it may take longer. That's the problem, isn't it?
Yeah, there's something of a war of attrition going on here, and I think there's people in Saudi Arabia and in Russia who might say that actually we are making money at this oil price, but globally there's a lot of people who aren't, and I guess that's the intention, is to see if they can get some of that marginal supply off stream, after which we would see a recovery in the price. But, you know, takes a cleverer man than me, I guess, to guess the time frame. As
no, absolutely.
Over, and what period that will evolve.
It would be a guess. I mean, this is a company that was the sixth biggest share on the JSE just 5 years ago, and you know, it was around the same sort of size as Steinhoff at that time, I suppose. Business confidence at its lowest levels in 21 years. It's hardly surprising that we're plumbing new depths there, back to 1999 levels.
Yep, I think we came in at 18 for the first quarter of 2020, down from 26 in the fourth quarter of last year. And just by way of reference, in the third quarter of 2009, at the height of the global financial crisis, the business confidence index fell to 25 index points. So we are well below what we thought new lows that we had plumbed at the time.
Yeah, no, it's a dastardly state to be in. And it's been really well reflected, I suppose, in Growthpoint's vacancy numbers. I mean, it's not as bad as City Lodge, which has got 54% average occupancies. Growthpoint has got 12% vacancies in offices. And that tells you, I suppose, the story of business confidence, or lack thereof, or the dwindling thereof.
Yeah, I think there's some cyclical factors at play. There's probably some structural factors at play as well. You know, there's oversupply, there's changing trends, but you know, unequivocally, it's predominantly a function of where we are in the cycle, and it's difficult to see that turning anytime soon. So, yeah, Growthpoint seeing increased vacancies, seeing you know, flat distributions, they'll be reasonably grateful, I would imagine, that they've taken a third of their balance sheet offshore. and at least a quarter of their earnings offshore, which will add hopefully some degree of defensiveness in the event that the fairly tough conditions they're seeing domestic continue for a prolonged period of time.
Are you surprised that Rob Shuter's chucking in the towel? It's a year from now. I mean, he's fulfilling his contract, but he's had a hell of a 3 years so far.
Yeah, a little bit. And just when he thought perhaps some of the issues coming out of Nigeria were behind him, here comes $30 oil. I guess the reason the market perhaps reacted a little bit negatively to an otherwise reasonable set of results from MTN today is there must be questions again as to the ability to upstream profits out of Nigeria in the event that the dollars that Nigeria have started to dry up with $30 oil. So, you know, some of the regulatory issues plaguing Rob Shuter out of Nigeria perhaps behind him, but some fairly tough operational ones ahead. And that applies, I guess, for most South African corporates with reasonably significant subsidiaries in Nigeria or other West African economies which are materially exposed to the oil price.
Well, Chris Stewart, thank you very much. From Investec Asset Management, we'll stop saying that on Monday.